Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome on this Palm Sunday. It's great to see you all. This morning's sermon is taken from Mark 11:3. It reads, "And if anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord has need of it.'" The focus of this morning's sermon is based on the reaction of the people towards Jesus as he made his triumphal entry into the city of Jerusalem. What their expectations were, what their actions towards Jesus were. And we're going to apply those to ourselves today, as we should daily make God feel welcomed in our hearts. I want to begin my reading in Mark 11, verses 1 through 10. "Now when they drew near Jerusalem to Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, and he said to them, 'Go into the village opposite of you, and as soon as you have entered it, you will find a colt tied, on which no one has sat. Loose it and bring it. And if anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord has need of it,' and immediately he will send it here." So they went their way and found the colt tied by the door outside on the street, and they loosed it. But some of those who stood there said to them, "What are you doing loosening the colt?" And they spoke to them just as Jesus had commanded, so they let him go. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their clothes on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their clothes on the road, and others cut down leafy branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then those who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." So around this time period, 2,000 years ago, Jews from all over Rome gathered in Jerusalem to take part in the Passover festival. This festival was a week-long celebration that was held in remembrance of how God delivered the Israelites from the bondage of Egypt, a land of slavery. It was like a celebration of freedom. It was a big deal. And many Jews went to purify themselves, taking part in ceremonial cleansings. And many people were curious if Jesus would attend the festival. You see, they had heard of his miraculous works. For example, such as Jesus feeding thousands of people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And many had witnessed them as well. Many had witnessed Jesus heal people with birth defects, with skin diseases. And some had even heard how Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead. So they inquired, "Will he come to the feast?" You see, at this point in time, stated in John chapter 11, 53 and 54, Jesus was no longer moving around publicly because the religious leaders had plotted to kill Jesus. The Pharisees didn't want Jesus around. They feared his power. They feared his perception over the people. And furthermore, Jesus would discredit the Pharisees because he saw their heart. And this was something that wasn't done by regular people back in the day. You see, the Pharisees didn't want people talking about Jesus, much less witnessing any more miracles that Jesus might perform. The Pharisees didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah. And that's what they wanted everyone else to feel as well. And John 8, 12 and 13 reads, "Then Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life.' The Pharisees therefore said to him, 'You bear witness of yourself. Your witness is not true.'" Regardless of the threat against his life, Jesus would fulfill the prophecy about the coming king that was told 500 years earlier by the prophet Zechariah, which reads in Zechariah 9:9, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." So let's set the scene up. As Jesus rides into Jerusalem on the donkey, the crowds are welcoming Jesus, cheering him on as he enters the city. They cheer, "Hosanna! Hosanna!" which means "save now." It's an old Hebrew interpretation. "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." So the question arises, why were the people doing this? You see, these people recognized Jesus as the one who would fulfill the prophecy in Zechariah. But they didn't understand where his kingship would lead them. You see, they expected Jesus to lead a rebellion. They expected Jesus to overthrow the bondage of Rome. They expected Jesus to restore the nation and bring it to its former glory. But that didn't happen. See, Jesus didn't ride in on a horse, which was a symbol of war. He rode in on a donkey, which was a symbol of peace. Furthermore, instead of attacking the enemy, Rome, in the eyes of the Jews, Jesus attacked them, specifically at the temple, driving out all the money changers, yelling at them. He said, "Is it not written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a den of thieves'?" So Jesus discredited their ways. So what happens when people's expectations of someone don't get met? They turn against the person. For example, in today's world, owners of sports franchises hire a coach, and the expectation is to win, to bring home the championship. And if it doesn't happen, they get fired. Or in other times, back in 2007, 2008, people from all around the country chanting, "Obama, Obama," like he's some kind of change agent to make our lives as Americans better. So what happened? Did people's lives get easier because of Obama? No, in some people's point of view, others, they have. But I'm taking the no, for example, so now we can't wait to kick him out of office because of failed expectations according to one's viewpoint. Well, this was Jesus' final week on earth alive, and he came to die. Once people realized that Jesus wasn't here to fulfill their earthly expectations, they turned on him. What started out as people cheering, "Hosanna! Hosanna!" days later, we'll be chanting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" This is a point of application that we can apply to ourselves. Jesus said, if anyone says to you, "Why are you doing this?" Well, what are your expectations of Jesus? You see, just as the crowds in Jerusalem that day had failed expectations of Jesus, many people today do as well. So I have one question. Did you, believer, did you receive Jesus to be happy or to be righteous? You see, many people fall away because of wrong expectations, or if Jesus discredits our ways that are wrong in His eyes, or if Jesus doesn't do what the sinner wants, then they turn on Him. You see, there's an idea that Jesus equals prosperity. Many people think or are preached from certain pulpits that Jesus is the key to having a great life. That Jesus is the key to having no problems. That this is your best life now. When the truth is, because of Jesus, your best life is the one yet to come, eternally. Amen. You see, if you read the Bible, His disciples had a terrible life. They were persecuted. They suffered. And many of them died horrendous deaths. Jesus died on the cross for your soul. Jesus came to be the propitiation for our souls, to free us from the bondage of our sins. And there is nothing more important in the eyes of Jesus than your salvation. John 3:36 reads, "He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." You see, many people are blind to see their need for Jesus. There's one famous pastor that never even mentioned sin, which is the roadblock that prevents one from entering heaven. But many people expect to go to heaven because they think they are a good person, or because of their good deeds. But through Jesus, one can be sure that they will enter heaven if they believe in the Christ, put their faith in Jesus as Lord and Savior. It's the only way. We're getting in on His work and not our own. The Apostle Paul states in 1 Timothy 1:15, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." So again, what are your expectations of Jesus? Famous pastor Max Lucado stated, "God never said the journey would be easy, but He did say the arrival would be worthwhile." Proverbs 10:28 says, "The hope of the righteous will be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked will perish." So let's continue on with the reaction of the people that day of Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem and apply it to ourselves. Now, how can we as believers welcome Jesus into our hearts? Make Him feel welcome. First, through obedience. Verses 4 through 6 of our scripture reading provides an example of obedience. "So they went their way, and they found the colt tied by the door outside on the street, and they loosed it. But some of those who stood there said to them, 'What are you doing loosening the colt?' And they spoke to them, just as Jesus had commanded. So they let him go." The disciples obeyed Jesus in action and in word. This is also an example of trusting Jesus, having faith that God is all-knowing, knew that the owner of the colt was a believer as well, and also would comply through obedience. Why would anyone want their colt stolen or taken away? But it's through obedience that He let him go. because God was in need of it. Obeying God needs to be in our best interest. Because He leads us in a way that is beneficial to us. He leads us in the right direction. How many times as a teenager have you heard your parents say, have you heard someone say, listen to your parents if you know what is good for you? And you still didn't listen. So what happens? You know, we learn something the hard way. You see, we naturally want to rebel against authority, or sometimes obedience has to be learned the hard way. You know, through maybe losing your job, maybe spending time in prison, maybe losing your family or a friend. You see, humans will never be perfect, but as maturing Christians, God expects believers to be more obedient and to evolve from the things of the world to the things of God. Luke 11:28 says, Jesus said, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. The second application pulled from our scripture reading is from verse 8, which is honoring Christ. And they spread their clothes on the road, and others cut down leafy branches from the trees and spread them on the road. This was a sign of respect to the king. They placed themselves under his authority. They honored Jesus with their actions. It was like rolling out the red carpet. But in this case, clothes and palm branches were used for the king to walk on. You see, all authority and honor belong to God. Revelation 4:11 reads, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. Believer, those palm branches are a symbol of victory. Today, Palm Sunday is the beginning of Holy Week or Passion Week, with events leading up to Jesus' death on a cross and His victory over death through the resurrection. Amen. These palm branches represent the victory of our Savior, Jesus. Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 through 10 provides a vision of the future of the redeemed believers, a multitude from the great tribulation. It reads, after these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. So what are some of the ways we can honor God today? To honor the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. How about modeling your words and your actions after God's Son Jesus? We know that we can't be perfect at this. We will make mistakes. We will mess up from time to time. But God knows our heart, and He knows if we're after His heart. By how we honor Him, through our conduct, through our obedience, through our words, our love for one another, our prayer life, our study of His Word. That's how we can continue to honor God. To be the light of the world and not mix in with darkness. the last example is praise, which is found in verses 9 and 10 in our scripture reading. Then those who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Praise is giving thanks to God for who He is. Praise causes us to appreciate God for who He is, what He did for us, and what He continues to do for us today. Praise is to have an attitude of gratitude, especially for the gift of salvation that none of us deserve. There are many reasons to praise God. The list can go on and on and on. Because He's a loving God, a just God, a faithful God, a forgiving God. He's our refuge, our fortress, our foundation. Praise God for who He is and how He continues to work in us as believers. The last scripture verse I'm going to read is taken from Psalm 150, verse 6. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. In conclusion, let this Palm Sunday message resonate. Let it serve as a reminder of the victory of Jesus and how we as Christians ought to welcome Jesus into our hearts daily. Let us pray. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, thank You so much for this wonderful day that You have given us. We would not even be here if it wasn't for You, for Your Son Jesus, for His actions. Thank You so much, Father. We are so grateful that because of Jesus, we have a sense of joy in our heart. We have a sense of security in our heart. Because of Him, because He died on the cross and then rose 3 days later. We believe in His promises and His hope. And we are so grateful, Father. We just want to share this hope, this message with others. Hoping that one day someone that is lost, someone that is blind, would receive Jesus into their hearts. Because He's the only way. He's the only way, the truth, and the life to You. And we're just so grateful, Father, for all that You do. Father, as believers, help us. Give us the strength to fight off temptation. To keep us heavenly minded. To keep us focused on You. To help You stay welcomed in our hearts. Through obedience. Through honor. Through praise. Thank You, Father, for all You do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. At this time, grant each other a sign of peace.